Good morning once again and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from Isaiah chapter 46 in verse 11. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. This scripture text is set within the larger context of Isaiah chapter 46, so we'll pick up where we left off last week in verse 8. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. This morning, we shall present facts about God's work in times past. And we will draw inferences and conclusions from said facts that our faith might be strengthened. First, we will consider those things which God has already spoken, purposed, and done. And then we shall draw the reasonable conclusion in light of the fact that God has already done so many things that we can reasonably expect that God will certainly do all of those things which remain undone. So this morning's sermon, I pray, will be a faith builder for each and every one of us. First, let us consider what God has already spoken, purposed, and done. Creation was spoken into existence by the power of God's Word. In the very first chapter of Genesis, the first chapter of our Bible, we read over and over again, "Then God said." Then God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Then God said, moving down the chapter a little bit, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. And so, the waters did indeed abound with an abundance of living creatures. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so, it was done as God had purposed. Thus, God's word is fulfilled. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Consider the first prophecy of Jesus Christ in our Bibles. Adam and Eve had just fallen from their holy estate and committed the original sin. No sooner had they fallen, God purposed to save them and all mankind by extension. from complete separation from God, which sin causes. God spoke to the serpent, that is Satan, saying, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The one to save the human race from sin, Jesus Christ, would be born of a virgin. Notice that God said that the Messiah, the one who would bridge the gap and remedy sin, would enter the world as her seed. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah prophesied further of this, and Matthew records its fulfillment. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." God did not stop there in fulfilling his spoken purpose. Satan did indeed bruise the heel of Christ at the cross. Satan got what we might call a Pyrrhic victory. He thought he had a victory, but God turned it into his victory. Through the shed blood there and the subsequent resurrection, Jesus dealt Satan a death blow. For it is written, "He shall bruise your head." Thus, God's word has been fulfilled. "Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." Do you need more proof of fulfillment of God's prophetic word? The Bible says in the Old Testament that the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus of Nazareth, would be a descendant of Abraham, an Israelite of the tribe of Judah, born in Bethlehem of Judah, at a time fixed by God and revealed through the prophet Daniel, right to the very year. That his hands and feet would be pierced, and that he would rise from the dead. Now, every one of these things that God had purposed and that he had spoken in the Old Testament came to pass exactly so. And we can find the fulfillment recorded in the New Testament. There are many, many other instances of exact fulfillment of prophecy in the Bible. At least 300 of them, as some have counted. What are the odds of that? Some have tried to do the math, but the numbers go so far off the calculator, you can never quite get there. The Bible is a book that you can believe. Its truth has been verified by actual historical events. These things were not done in a corner. These things have been witnessed to in the world. And the truth of them are witnessed to us through the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Thus, God's word is fulfilled. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And that term, propitiation, is a theological term, but we find it in the Bible. And it speaks of the fact that Jesus, God the Son, in his incarnation, satisfied the wrath of God against sin by his very own blood being shed. The wrath of God is satisfied. It is finished. Thus, God's word is fulfilled. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I have a question for you. You don't have to answer out loud, but can answer in your heart before God. Do you believe these things? Well, if so, God has already begun fulfilling his purpose in you. God not only purposes in his divine providence through history in general, but God speaks and purposes in a very personal way in each and every one of our lives. Therefore, those who believe are able to say with Paul, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are the called according to his what? His purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. When God speaks something, and when God purposes something, it's as good as already done. Have you placed your faith in Christ? Then this promise is for you. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Just as it is impossible, being outside of God's purpose, for Christ to be re-crucified, it is likewise impossible for you to be utterly lost once you are truly God's. For God is able to save his children and keep them to the uttermost. Thus, we find that God's word and God's purpose is fulfilled even in us. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Secondly, this morning, we shall consider that it is reasonable to believe that God will certainly do all that remains undone. If He has done so many things, why then should we have trouble believing that He shall not do many more? With God, past performance is indeed proof of future results. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Why should we doubt? If He came the first time exactly as God had purposed and spoken, why should His second coming not likewise be brought to pass? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Paradise will one day be restored. Some will enter it. Others, because of their willful rejection of God, will find themselves on the outside looking in. I'd like to read a passage from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, which is an encouragement for those who stand upon the promises of God, but a sobering reality for those who have not yet done so. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, but the former things have passed away." And then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said to me, "It is done." Kind of reminiscent of Jesus' words on the cross, right? When Jesus said, "It is finished." The work of the first advent was complete. But now, it is done. The work of Christ in His second advent is done. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. These are the words of the Lord. What then shall we do? The believer must place full confidence in God through faith in Jesus Christ, or else forfeit the measure of God's peace. God's peace, at least in part, comes from an assurance that God has said, "Indeed I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." How much do you believe that statement, Christian? The degree of peace that you have in your day-to-day life and in certain circumstances will give you the answer to that question. The unbeliever must make the transaction from death into life by the first profession of faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is God's promise to you. For he himself has said, "Indeed I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." We thank you, God, for your faithfulness and your loving kindness, your mercy and your truth, which lead us to salvation. This morning, may our confidence and your constancy be strengthened through your word and through having all of these things, all of these works that you have done and continue to do, laid out for us. We are sorry, Father, for those times where we have lived and acted like we don't believe that you're going to come through for us. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, and that not our purposes, not our will, but your purposes and thy will be done. Thy will be done in our lives. And in answer to our prayers this morning, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.